Well, as you've probably heard by now, a bill to delay sequestration and extend tax cuts heads to the president's desk today after a down-to-the-wire vote in the House last night. Brian Friel joins us now with details on the detail and what this means to federal workers and government contractors from Bloomberg Government. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's talk about sequestration, which would seem to have the most effect on the federal government. They didn't really kill sequestration. What did they do?
Well, they did two things. They delayed it, and they also reduced the potential effect of it. So we were looking at $109 billion in potential sequestration prior to the passage of this bill. Now we're looking at $85 billion as the ceiling because Congress took $24 billion of the original $109 billion and shifted it. So $12 billion of that cut has now been taken care of through a change in the tax code. And the other $12 billion is being dealt with by changes in the budget caps for 2013 and 2014, so kind of pushing out the potential effect of the cuts into so that they can be dealt with later. So really now what it's basically a 22% reduction in the potential threat of sequestration, which will now potentially take place in March unless Congress and the White House can agree on further reducing the potential impact of it.
Well, let's go a little bit deeper into that $12 billion in cuts. Lord knows what the $12 billion in revenues is going to come from. But let's say there's $12 billion in cuts. How does that work? We're on a continuing resolution from 2012 now, and then that runs out in March. What will Congress do at the end of March, and how will that $12 billion in cuts that they ordered last night come into play?
So the way they structured those cuts is that they reduced the what they call the discretionary spending caps for non-security and security spending, both for 2013 and 2014. So $8 billion of that $12 billion has been shifted out into 2014 in the form of lower overall caps for that year. So you can kind of sort of put those aside. So really for 2013 now, you're only looking at $4 billion in potential cuts, $2 billion on the defense side and $2 billion on the non-defense side. Those would take place through through what they call sort of a after-session sequestration, which the new law says would take place on March 27th, which is the day that the current continuing resolution expires. And so essentially that $4 billion would have to come through a sort of second follow-on sequestration order from the administration. But one thing to keep in mind is that the $2 billion on the non-defense side, the reduction in the cap still leaves the overall cap higher than what the current spending level is for non-defense. So essentially, that cut is something of a phantom cut. It can be made without actually affecting any programs.
Yeah, so in other words, the federal budget will go up in 2013 and it will go up in 2014.
Well, it would have gone up in 2013 and 2014, and now these cuts essentially sort of flatline the overall budget. So it's sort of eliminating an expected increase over the next two years rather than and now sort of just sort of keeping it at the same overall level.
All right, so the new Congress, then, it's really a different crew, somewhat, I guess, that's going to have to deal with what to do about the 85% left in sequestration. And what's the schedule? When do they take that all up?
So the deadline, now the deadline instead of January 2nd is March 1st. So Congress has to deal with this by March 1st or OMB will issue the sequestration order that everyone was expecting to happen today. So that basically gives us 2 months. Now the new Congress gets sworn in tomorrow. The president will have his inauguration on January 21st. And then they'll have to really sort of get down, to it. The wrinkle in this is that there's also a debt ceiling fight. We don't know the exact date, but sometime in the same period in sort of early March, the debt ceiling might be breached. So all this sequestration fight might be wrapped into the fight over the debt ceiling increase.
And do we know this morning whether all those hardworking bunnies in the Treasury Department are taking their extraordinary measures? Because didn't we actually hit the debt ceiling, the government hit the debt ceiling on New Year's Eve?
That's right. So what happened? So Treasury Secretary Geithner let Congress know that would happen. And so he said, I can start moving, basically sort of shifting money around through accounting procedures to prevent an actual breach of the debt ceiling. And it's things like it's something that really bothers federal employees every year, but they take money allocated in the G fund, which is the sort of super safe fund for the thrift savings plan for federal employees, and kind of jostle that around. And they always have always restored that money, once an agreement is reached to raise the debt limit. But it always certainly causes some angst for federal employees while that's happening.
All right, so we're speaking with Brian Friel. He's an analyst at Bloomberg Government. Let's talk about contractors for a minute, because there's a lot of uncertainty on their part because they don't know what programs would have, well, they know that all programs, I guess, would have been hit by the sequester. So can contractors at least breathe a sigh of relief now, or do they still face some uncertainty?
What they were facing before, what the government overall was facing before for defense was a 9.4% cut in fiscal 2013, and for non-defense was an 8.2% cut. And we just did sort of an initial preliminary calculation, and now with $24 billion taken off of the top of sequestration, now we're looking at if sequestration starts to take place in March, a 7.3% cut for fiscal 2013 on the defense side, and probably in the 6.5% range for non-defense. So still a hit, but slightly less possible. But the uncertainty remains, and that's exacerbated by the fact that the government is on this continuing resolution with fund authority for spending expiring at the end of March, and it's very reminiscent of the way of what happened in 2011 when Congress didn't pass a full year appropriation until mid-April. And so contractors can think back to 2 years ago and how they dealt with the uncertainty then, and apply the lessons that they learned then, to now.
All right. And let's talk about also the fact that, there was some published reports today in NextGov that DOD had awarded about $8 billion in contracts for stuff, satellites, aircraft upgrades. It looked like to protect them from sequestration, because they would have been obligated by the time sequestration occurs. Can we expect to see more of that awarding of contracts for the purpose of, I guess, buying what the government needs, but also to protect those funds from the sequester?
Well, getting funds obligated is definitely a security step for contractors. So the Pentagon has said that they do not want to claw back money that's obligated. So throughout, even when they were expecting the sequestration to happen today, they said that if money was on contract, they would really do their best not to go into that, to those monies and try and get the money back, but instead just push off the awarding of new contracts. And so we think that that principle still sort of applies, that it's safer for companies to get money obligated and on contract than, obviously to have it sitting out there, unawarded and unclear when it will actually get booked.
Now, if the government or, say, DOD obligates a dollar, but they end up getting 90 cents on that dollar is the actual budget, could they find themselves in an anti-deficiency violation situation?
Well, there's a couple of ways that they can deal with that. For one thing, the cuts are scheduled to take place at the program project and activity level, which gives agencies some flexibility, so that if a contract is within one of those types of accounts, the cuts can be taken from elsewhere in those accounts, or from future expected obligations within those accounts. Another place is from unobligated balances from prior years. The Defense Department carries over tens of billions of dollars in unobligated balances, and that provides a place for the Pentagon to take some cuts rather than from obligated dollars. But one thing that the contractors, I think, can expect over the coming months is increased use of what are called IDIQs, or indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contracts, in which the government makes it clear that they're really not sure what their funding situation is going to be, and they can only promise a small amount of the potential value of an order, and they can only tell a contractor that they hope that they can issue additional money in the future if funds become available.
So that means that the money dribs and drabs out, and contractors should be looking for the small bites, in other words, instead of the big, huge contract or the big annuity type of contract at this point.
Right, and also, you know, add-ons to existing contracts and extensions of existing contracts, rather than the award of big new contracts. So, in a sense, it could be a good thing for incumbent contractors who are facing recompetitions. The government may be inclined to push off the award or the changeovers of contracts, and instead just extend existing contracts.
Brian Friel is a federal business intelligence analyst at Bloomberg Government. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.